Let's begin from the book of Matthew chapter 19. We are talking about faith basics. That's what we have been on since the beginning of the year, and we are continuing therein. And periodically we get into subsections of the matter of faith basics. And in those subsections, all right, we now go into subsections, if you understand what I mean. Like some time ago I began to talk about how to increase your faith, and then last week I moved into another subsection which I said is how to recognize the voice of God. Can you remember that? All right, that's what we began last week, so I'm going to continue on that discussion, how to recognize the voice of God. All right, the book of Matthew chapter 19, I'm going to make some statements. We'll talk about how does God speak to people. And they pick from a particular very common, a very famous book. And the author is a very good man. He has taught me, one of the people that laid the foundation of Christianity for me through his teachings. But in that book, I realized something. I won't go into this by analyzing the book, but the summary of it is this. He narrated a lot of personal experiences, and people formed those experiences into doctrine. Now, you hear that the man said that this happened to him, and young believers, now, that happened to him after being a Christian for a long time. There's a way he was walking with God, and then God spoke to him in a particular fashion. Then young Christians will go around saying that that's how God speaks to them. And I said, that's a doctrine. Then I form it into a different part. I said, there's still small voice. There's voice of the Holy Spirit. There is authoritative voice of God. There is vision. They analyze it. Now, those things are really true, but they are not doctrines. They are just different examples of people's experiences. Are you getting my point? So I took time out to study what really should a Christian expect when it comes to God speaking to him. And that's what we're discussing again. How to recognize the voice of God, because indeed God speaks. God is alive and is well. Now, we have abused that principle, and everybody starts shouting, God said to me, God said to me, God said to me. I'm going to make a few statements first. There is a difference, listen to what I want to say clearly. There is a difference between the will of God and what God speaks to somebody. Now, I wanted to say that, I wanted to show whoever is listening to this. There is a difference, and I'll read a few scriptures to show that to you, between what God says to somebody and the will of God. The will of God is that which does not change. The will of God is that which is perfect in that situation. Quickly, before we read Matthew chapter 19, quickly go to the book of Romans chapter 12. Let's read that one first. It said, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. Now listen to this. The will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me emphasize that again. That is what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to be able to prove what the will of God is. And you can only do that when you have been transformed through the renewing of your mind. I'm going to talk about that again today. And then the will of God is that which is... Now, he was not describing what the will of God is. The characteristics of the will of God. The will of God is good. The will of God is acceptable. And the will of God is perfect. Please, notice something. People have said that there are three kinds of will of God. And there are three levels of the will of God. There is a good will of God, there is an acceptable will of God, and there is a perfect will of God. And they are quoting this scripture. I don't have time to explain, that's not true. The will of God is, it's not the wills of God. do you understand my point? No, that's just a joke, alright? But this is the point. What Paul was saying is that the will of God, that will of God, has three attributes to it at the same time. It is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect. It is not as if the will that is good is different from the will that is perfect. And both of them vary from that which is acceptable. No, the will of God is one. And it is good. It is acceptable. And it is perfect. And it does not vary. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's why it's perfect. If it could vary, it wouldn't be perfect. Now that's the first point I wanted to understand. Now let's read us Romans chapter, what do you call it now? Matthew chapter 19. Now, this is a story we all know concerning the issue of divorce. And Jesus made a statement in chapter 8. Let's just start from 4. I'll give you a preamble to it. From verse 3, the Pharisees came to him and they asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause at all? We're not talking about marriage or divorce now. I just want to quickly bring out an issue here. And Jesus answered them that, have you not read that he created them in the beginning, made them male and female, and then for this cause and all of that, all right? Then in verse 7, this is where I'm going now. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate and divorce her? Now, before we read his answer, verse 4, in which Jesus said, he that made them, he who created them from the beginning, made them male and female. And that's the perfect will of God. That is the good will of God. And that is what? The acceptable will of God. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That is the will of God. It does not change. It is good. It is acceptable. It is perfect. And listen to me, as a Christian, a young Christian or old Christian, whatever you are, that is what you should be going for. That your life may be conformed with the perfect will of God. Then the people now said that, oh, is that so? If that's what God said, then why did Moses say this? Is Moses telling us something different from what God said? That's why I said to you earlier, there is a difference between what God tells a man and what the will of God is. That's why it never impresses me when a man comes to explain to me, by whatever story you want to tell, that this is how God revealed to me that this is what I'm supposed to do. God only reveals things to you according to the readiness of your heart to receive it. So God can reveal something to you and I disagree with it in my heart. It doesn't mean you didn't hear God. It doesn't mean I know what I'm saying. It just means that you have not yet reached the level that I know God wants you to reach. So right now, that's what God wants to give to you. Because Jesus said to them in verse 8, he said, because of the hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it had not been this way. Let me summarize like that. The will of God is expressed in the beginning. Jesus gave the will of God. What did he say concerning it? He said, male and female created he them. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. Therefore, whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That is the perfect will of God. That is the acceptable will of God. That is the good will of God. Then why did Moses scale it down? Simple. Because the good will of God is too good for the evil people that he was having to reveal it to. Did God change his mind? He never did. But let me say something to you. I need to say this. No matter what you want to claim, that this was what God said I should do. Listen to me. Whatever God has joined together, nobody can put asunder. Perfect obedience is joined to perfect blessing. If God himself scales down for you, he also automatically scales down the blessing. That's why I will explain something to you today. Don't go and learn how to hear God. It's unnecessary. Go and learn how to prove the will of God in your life. There's a world of difference. I see Christians, they think they are spiritual. What God said is this crap. You know what I found out? You only hear what you want to hear. That's why there are different kinds of Holy Spirit. There's the real Holy Spirit and he has a lot of assistants. It is those his assistants that worry Christians. You will hear Holy Spirit said, Holy Ghost said, God said, you wonder when the God starts smoking. Because he'll say one thing today, another one tomorrow. And you begin to wonder, why does he not make up his mind? Do I need to tell the story of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22 again? I don't need to. They came to Balaam. Balak sent to Balaam, come and curse these people for me. Balaam, in the beginning, oh my God, get this point. In the beginning, he knew the will of God. What was the will of God? Don't go. Because these are blessed people. And the commission and the assignment was that you will not curse the people that God has blessed. And Balaam knew that. He did. Then when he began to argue, God scales down for him. And I told you something earlier. Even if God scales down for you, whatever God has joined together, you can't put it asunder. Blessing is tied to a certain level, to obedience to the perfect will of God. There's something I say all the time. When I say it, it's like half a joke, but it's a lot of truth to it. David was a man who pleased God. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right. And God used to brag on David, true of us. How old was he when he began to fall sick? He was about 70. At the age of 70, they are having to warm him up. At 120, Moses said, the Bible said concerning Moses, that his eyes were not dim, neither was his strength abated. At the age of 80, Caleb and Joshua were still going out to war. Why? I said this sounds like a joke, but I believe it. The problem with David was too many women. Go and read Proverbs. Solomon explains something. That women deserve strength. If a man gives himself to many women, he donates his strength to them. So Solomon, after all his experiences, he said the best thing is rejoice in the wife, one, of your youth. God did not complain. David, you first marry one woman. Add Abigail, join. Add another one, join. Micah, their household. He just gathered them, join. You know, God didn't talk. But whatever God has joined together, David can't put asunder. So God bragged about David, his faith, his bravery, everything about David. But he said, this thing doesn't lead people to good places. Why did he not correct him? I don't have time to explain it. There's a limit. Oh gosh. There's a limit to God that a man can take. Moses died when he was exhausted. Not because God was angry. I taught you before, in previous times, that don't think God knows the vexed. I don't know where I get my point. When you see the Bible said that God was angry, the truth is what I read. I've also heard it from Pastor Chris Okoti, and I read in theology books. It's just called anthropopathism. That is, want to describe the character of God by using what men understand, the traits of man. So here that God was angry. It just because men get angry, so we use it to describe God. The truth is that God knows the vex. What I mean is this. In reality, he's very objective. His judgment is never beclouded by his emotions. Never. That's what I mean. Never. When he killed Moses, it was out of, you know, you read that, and then God was angry and all of that. The truth, the fundamental, basic, deep spiritual truth was that Moses was tired. What happened? He had expended his energy for the nation of Israel. So when he began to disobey God, it was the first sign of his depletion of energy. What am I bringing out here? Listen, God has joined certain things together. His perfect will is tied to his perfect blessing. And if he downscales, if he scales down his will for anybody, at the same time, the blessing tied to that will is scaled down. You can't do anything about it. That's why we go for the perfect will of God. You know the statement I made? Let me make it again. There is a difference between, I'm modifying it now, the perfect will of God and what God says to a man. What God says to a man comes under three circumstances. I thought about it and I wrote those down. Number one, God will utter his perfect will. That's possible. That's number one. Number two, God utters that which a man can receive, a man who he wants to bless, because little blessing is better than none at all. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So they came and said, we should not divorce who? These women, you know how difficult they can be. Moses said, please, before you kill me in the process, I'm coming. Dear Lord, they want to divorce their wives. God said, tell them to give a certificate of divorce. And then he gave certain criteria. If you divorce a woman, just know she's gone permanently. Because no matter who you are, I believe, this is what I think, my experience and observing things, there will be moments in which your wife will so annoy you, you wish you would go back to her father's house. Or you if it's a Ebola, you will park away from the house. So God said, now say you want her, once she goes, she's not coming back. That was like to threaten them. So when you think for a moment and say, if I divorce this girl, that's the end though. I will have to watch her marry somebody else. God made it a law. You can't take her back once she marries somebody else. What am I trying to bring out there? You see, God began to modify things for them. Why? Because his will has changed? No! Jesus says simply because of the hardness of their hearts. So when a man said, God speaks to me, I say all the time, it has not impressed me as to your spirituality. Because I don't know why God said that to you. He could have said it to you because you are so stubborn. That's the only thing he can say to you. He could have said that to you because you are so deaf. Of all the things he said, that was the only one that filtered through. You never use, may I not mention networks. You know, you've used some gentle before. As you are calling. The person say, please, are we supposed to go? I said, don't go. The network cuts that don't out. I said, go. That's what you hear. Say, God said, go. I remember one argument we had once. When I was a resident doctor, just to illustrate the ability to hear, all right? My friend was the president of the association of resident doctors. Then they had a meeting. He had called an executive meeting, but an emergency came up and he had to go somewhere else. So he sent a note to the vice president, to the secretary, and said, sorry, I have to be in so-and-so place on that particular day. The meeting previously called may not hold. Did you hear that? And he left. By the time he came back, the meeting held, chaired by either the vice president or the secretary, and they made decisions virtually binding on the association, or at least binding on the executive. So the man returned and said, I said that meeting was cancelled because we called an emergency association meeting for it. So during the meeting, we're not discussing. He said, look, I told them the meeting was cancelled. I said, he was arguing that no, you said it may not hold. That is, it may hold or may not hold. I was embarrassed because the problem, listen to this, the language was clear. The secretary's comprehension of English was defective. Many of us don't know. When the man said may not hold, it's a proper English gentleman's way of giving you a firm instruction. That is, the meeting is cancelled. But because of respect, they don't come out forcefully. It was an argument because not all of us understood English to that level. These were all doctors. You've never heard before, you may enter. Have you heard that before? It's an easy way of saying come in. Somebody say, may I? You've heard that before. May, when you use in under such circumstances, is a very firm English. A lot of people don't know that. May has a way in which it is like this or like that. But when a man senior to you say you may not, what he's saying is that go at your peril. He has given you his word. Now, this one I'm trying to make. The president, knowing proper Queen's English, spoke to men in a gentleman's fashion. Please, the meeting may not hold. And they said, no, you left it to us to decide. The man said, I did not. Now, you get what I'm saying? That's the thing with God. Sometimes he speaks expressly. People misunderstand him. Are you hearing me? That's why I'm explaining to you. Remember the first statement I made? There's a difference between the perfect will of God and what God says to a man or to a woman. If somebody comes to me and says, God said I should marry her, the first thing basically is that you like her. Don't fool me. The basic thing is you like her. Now, there have been circumstances, all right, because people want to argue, say, hey, but this man, wait. There are a few exceptions in which the supernatural manifestation was heavy. Are you getting my point? Are you getting my point?
Yes.
But the fact is that most times, people hear two things. One, what they want to hear, or two, what they are able to hear. I said there are three circumstances in which by which God's word comes to people. Number one, yeah, perfect will. Number two, the one that he scaled down, that he might bless somebody. And then number three, before I forget, number three, there are people he gives his word to. Perfect will or imperfect will, whatever it is, he knows they won't obey. And the word is only expressed to demonstrate the righteousness of the forthcoming judgment. So God will say to Moses, go and speak expressly to Pharaoh. Let my people go. But don't worry, he won't let them go. Are you getting my point? God will say to Ezekiel, or Jeremiah, go and prophesy all you want. These people, they are hardened in their hearts. They will never obey. But they will still be shouting warning, judgment. Because shout from now till tomorrow. I just want you to be able to write a book so that people who come years later can read the book. So Jeremiah will shout, shout, shout. Nobody will listen to him. Ezekiel will come, prophesy, prophesy. Nobody will listen to them. Why? Like the Bible says, because a destruction is determined. And he said, it's overflowing with righteousness. What does that mean? God must demonstrate that I gave them my will. They rejected it. Those are the three ways by which the word of God comes to people. Let me say, go back to number one. That expression of God's perfect will is not common. In direct communication with people, it's not common. It's not common. It's not common. There are a lot of people that God says, arise, go to Lagos. What they hear is, arise, go to Sagam. Because God knows that no matter what you move, this guy is not going to Lagos. So we'll move him to Sagam, hoping that over the next 5 years, we'll be able to tempt him to finally hear the final destination we set out for him in the beginning. No, what I'm saying is the truth. Let me stop that segment of the teaching there. To let you understand, I've just tried to bring out an issue here. So forget what God is saying. For now, focus on what you are hearing. You understand what I'm saying now? Focus on the unplugging of the ear and the softening of the stubborn heart that you may discern the will of God. Focus on that. I said to you earlier that I learned those days and they were so taught as if you practice to hear God. Somebody said, how do I explain inner witness to somebody? I gave him a good explanation on how to explain it. Let me tell you something. The man who really wants to know, the will of God, he doesn't need all the definitions. He will know. And I told you before, look, listen. You know, we ended it last time talking about the widow of Zarephath. How did she know Elijah was for real? I said, it's irrelevant. What she needed to know was Elijah was hungry. Once she could prove the hunger of this old man, that's all. Whether God said she should give him food or God did not say she should give him food becomes secondary. Once she has a heart that wants to give a hungry man food. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says God said I should give towards that ministry. 15,000 naira. And God will laugh. I say, me, 15,000 naira. You have 5 million. I wanted you to give 1.5 million. But because you are so stubborn. Do you follow what I'm saying? That you're now bragging and say, as I was coming this month, the Lord said I should just show a sheet of 15. God will just say, me. Me and you. Jaguda. Me. The fact is that that's the much you can release. So another man who God does not say anything to, who one angel just tapped his cheek and he turned. He saw the work that was going on. And he said, what is this work about? They said, we're about to convert all the children between the ages of 12 and 18 in Enugu so that iniquity will not arise here anymore. And the man said, are you serious? They said, yes. Are you serious? Yes. Say, I'm coming. He goes home. He sells his only car. You understand my point? There was one house he has. He sells it, packs down to a small house that he rented, and brings all the money and says, please, will this be enough? Say, did God speak to you? Say, no. But I think it's a serious thing that must be done. Do you get the point? One man brags and says, God spoke to me. The other one doesn't even know that God is talking to anybody. He just saw a serious thing that must be done. And he responded. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the man who said God spoke to me and the one who did not claim God spoke to him, all right? Do you think that one who said God spoke to him would please God more in this circumstance? No. 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 Most of the people you read in the Bible, heroes of faith, Rahab. You think God spoke to Rahab? Oh, Rahab, I am sending my people tomorrow. Thou shalt receive them. And when they... God didn't tell them anything like that. Rahab had her personal issues. There were many reasons why Rahab could have been a harlot. Forget her harlotry for a moment. But she saw deliverance coming. She saw the people of God coming. She decided to help the people of God. That's all. If God wants to talk, that's his problem. I don't know what I can explain. But in doing that which was right, she discovered the will of God. That's what Paul meant when he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what the will of God is. Most Christians want to learn to tune their ears, be transformed by the changing of your ears and the quietening of your spirit, that you might hear what the will of God is. Paul never said so. He said, what you do, you are transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. And then you are able to prove, not hear. There's a difference. You are able to prove, not hear, not just discern, not just perceive. No. You are able to prove, that is, in reality and in experience, you demonstrate what the will of God is. This is when I was in Lagos. My pastor said something once when I was in Lagos. He said, what's the will of God? He said, do the right thing. The consequence is the will of God. Do that which is right. And the consequence is what? The will of God. I was listening while we're doing some editing to one message I preached a few weeks ago, talking about this seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let me just say it again, because I want to just emphasize it. That sometimes we Christians, we get carried away in trying to forcefully, because there are two ways to do things. You can use the young Moses method of getting God's will done on the earth, which is get up, you fight. And you can allow God move by his finger and you cooperate. What is the first method? Let me explain. And this was what I said then. That you can decide. In fact, let me use this example. Brother Billy Akoni, how many of you know Billy Akoni? You've heard the name, all right? I was listening to him some time ago. He says something, which of course I always knew it. I just like his illustration, so I want to use it. That assuming you're a believer, you go to an office. Alright? And because we're a Christian, the natural tendency is that, let's assume you're in charge of employing people. Let's assume you're a bank manager. Alright? You want to employ people who are Christians. It's natural. Are you getting my point? Therefore, when you are doing an interview, you tend to favor those who are Christians and then those who are not lose your favor. Now, the point, listen to what I'm saying. The young Moses, all right? Young Moses, that is method of doing things. We must liberate the church. We must empower the people of God. So once you're a believer, you get the job. He throws excellence to second place. Why? Because he wants to do a kingdom work. He wants to empower believers while he's in that office. One day, a student, you know, I teach in the university, for those of you who don't know. But one thing that's conspicuously missing in this place, all right, are my students. I didn't just bring them to you. My students, you don't see them here. I teach in UNEC, and you know, normally, Christians, students would like to go and do yes sir, yes sir, hoping that exam time. I teach in College of Medicine. Our exam, in fact, the one I am part of, pathology, in University of Nigeria Enugu campus, is certifiably the most problematic. It's not like that. The school I came from, University of Benin, it's not like that. It has to do with the way curriculum is arranged and all of that. It's certified the most problematic for students. You know why you don't see my students here? The gist spread long ago that guy is a wicked soul. Now, there are a number of things. There are students who are very close to me. People who knew, everybody knew that, look, this young woman is Dr. Nishino's very close person. She failed the exam while I was watching. If I want by glad they will finish it, an exam. And I said, okay, come. You know this exam. You know you failed now. So I said, I set a question that I taught all of you. I gave you 7 over 20. I hope you know. Just know now. Come, let's go. What will we say? My own is that there's nothing. Then one day I organized a tutorial for those who are having serious problems with the course. They had done the exam like twice. It's like their third attempt. And college is only 4 attempts. So you feel you are going out. It was getting close to that for them. So I called only those ones aside. If you're a third or a fourth attempter, you come for this tutorial. So there were about like 20 people. So I said, all right, you know that I have a Bible study in town. They were all waiting for the next line that if you can, just try and attend. We know what they had. I said, if I see your leg there, you're dead. And they thought it was a joke. Two of them walked here. Some of you may have noticed. One day I walked two different days. I walked two students out of this place. I saw one guy I was teaching. He was sitting down there. After a while, I said, come, do I know you? He said, I'm a student. You're a student. Are you in pathology class or you're finished pathology? So I'm in pathology class. I said, get up and get out. If I see you here again, I'll kill you. So medical students have learned. You don't go to Dr. Rishino's Bible study unless you have passed his course. That's why you don't see them here. I teach in university in Enugu here. Normally, you'll have me, good morning, sir. God bless you, sir. They know that you do that. I don't mince words, though. I will call you, tell you to your face. And I like to do everybody's watching. You know, if I see somebody like that, I just call you, come. While all of you are seated, I will abuse him in your presence. Then kick him out. You know my reason? It's simple. Because I don't, it's not part of what I score your attendance in Bible studies. It is unrighteousness for me to give you one mark beyond that which you earned, except the department had a policy to give that mark to everybody. Muslims, Hindus, Hare Krishnas, Buddhists, Christians, you know what I'm saying? Jews. Once you're a medical student, you get a mark. Even if you're my wife, my real wife, the only advantage you have is I will teach you day and night. As God has helped me till today, my mark, my scripts, you won't see. We are living in the same room, sleeping on the same bed. You will not see my question a day ahead. What am I saying? Young Moses will say, I was going to tell you a story. So once, a few years ago, when I first came to Enugu, you know, the gist was spread. That lecturer is a Christian. So one day I got a text message. God bless you, sir. The devil is trying to put shame on the body of Christ. And God has appointed you in this season to remove that shame. And all of that, all of that. Please, this brother has been failing. I deleted the text. I got a second time. A third time. This time around, I replied it. If you don't want God to punish you, don't send that text again. If I get that text again, you will know the kind of person that I am. Don't dare me. I replied the fellow. After that, you know, this they spread. Say that guy, forget his Christianity, he's a wicked soul. What am I saying? How do we build the kingdom of God? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The way by which you build it is by doing what is right. It is wrong for me to give a Christian student a free mark. Because marks are not awarded based on faith. They are awarded based on ability to recollect what you were taught. So a young Moses, who wants to free the children of Israel by force, you know what he will do? He will start giving marks to Christian students. But he's not building the kingdom of God. Why? He's not building righteousness. That's not righteousness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? If a policeman, if a Christian commits, you arrest him. If an unbeliever commits, you arrest him. Period. There's not, you know you're a brother. Let me just close my eyes this time. No. You know how you handle such situations? Go to church. Tell your pastor to tell your brethren to help you do your work. Say, brethren, please help me do my work. I'm a Federal Road Safety Officer. Please, brethren, carry your driver's license. That's what I can do for you. Please, the things we check for on the road are, we check for this, we check for this. This is how you handle it. That's what I can do for you as my brother. But once I wear the uniform and your motor is on the road, no fire extinguisher, I am, in fact, you are even more at a disadvantage. Because I have to prove to my boss I'm doing my work by arresting my brother. You go to church, tell people ahead. Are you getting my point? That's the only thing you can do for them, to warn them ahead. But once you get to the place of work, all right, you don't start showing stupid favors to Christians. You know, this is Nigeria. One day, Joy was in my office. I don't know, just those of you know Joy, all right? I'm a pathologist. So a patient came, they needed assistance concerning something. And so Joy was sitting there that day. And the man was talking and talking and talking. And I was thinking, okay, how do I help him? So I called one of my doctors. All right, please, you go and do this, check this. So along the line, the man heard my name. And he found that I was a Yoruba man. So he switched his language to Yoruba and began to talk. He began to speak in Yoruba. At that point, you know what happened? Why did I mention Joy? Joy just put her head down like this and said, yeah, this man has lost it. That's what I remember. Joy said, she just bent her head and did like this. Like this man just blew the little chance he had of assistance. And you know, sometimes I just told the man, I said, excuse me, sir, it's not necessary. Your Yoruba is not even good. It's obvious you are not even from there. You're just trying to speak it. I told him like that straight. I said, the fact is that I'm helping you because you are in need, not because we speak the same language. Sometimes my wife said, am I not too strict? I said, no, it's important I deal. I said, because Nigeria has a problem. One day, some students sent me a letter. Association of Yoruba Students in Enugu Campus. They are asking for an appointment to come and greet me. I said, tell them they shouldn't come near my office. Yes. I'm not angry. If they had come individually, I would have received them. I said, but please, don't engage me in the nepotism that's in Nigeria. I don't want it. I am not interested. If that was my attitude, listen, how did I pack my load and leave Enugu to Lagos to come to Enugu? I wasn't transferred here. I used my two hands because I believed it was the perfect will of God for me. And I walked down here. I'm not going to get down here and then now come. If that was my attitude, why would I be here in the first place? So I told them, don't come to my house, don't come and greet me. Courtesy call. I don't want the courtesy call. Don't courtesy me. Thank you. Because I know human beings. I know what they are looking for. They look for a moment where you go, they hang around when you get a problem. I do such things if you are a believer. That is, if those kind of relationship matter is based on, for me, it's based on Christianity. It's based purely on Christianity. And I like the way God has raised me to help Nigerians in this day and age. My wife is from Delta State. My best man is from Abia State. When I got married, I had friends everywhere. The pastor was my best man. His name is Uchechi Obioma Igbokwe. How more Igbo can you get than that? Think about it. It's from Umuahia. Some of you may, he was around here so a few months ago. All right? He's my friend. Now he lives in the UK. He's my bosom friend. That's what God has raised me to be. So if somebody will now want to bring me down to another level, I get a bit irritated. I say, my friend, get away from there. I outgrew this thing before I enter university. Self. I learned all of these things as part of my fundamentals of Christianity. Let me not lose the main thing I'm trying to explain, please. I'm talking about seeking the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. How do you know you are doing what is right? That's what I'm coming to. How do you know indeed it is the kingdom of God you are building? It is by building it according to the will of God. Now we're back to the matter of the will of God. Listen to me. The perfect will of God is hardly ever spoken to anybody. Now, you know I said it earlier, that there are three things God communicates. Because then God speaking to somebody, the voice of God. One is the perfect will of God, which I said is rare. It's rare. Let me say it again. It's rare. Most of what people hear is the second level of God's voice. The will of God downscaled to fit your ability to receive it. Where do you discover the perfect will of God? It is written. The perfect will of God is written. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? That's why you grow into it. If God were to utter his perfect will to you all the time, it brings you more judgment than anything else. Because you keep coming short of perfect obedience. So he gives you judgment. So he doesn't worry you with that. He gives you the word you can... That's why, when somebody said that, I was waking up this morning, God began to speak. That's why, don't harass anybody with it. You know why you shouldn't harass anybody with it? Let me just quickly tell you that, because I differ from a lot of Christians concerning this, co-ministers and all of that. If God tells you something, most of the time, please, when you want to repeat it, don't say, God said. Have you noticed that I have never told you that God said we should go on radio? If you have been here long enough, there are words you don't hear from my mouth. Have you noticed I have never come to tell you God said we should go on TV? I have never told you God said we should be having Bible studies on Tuesdays and on Saturdays. Some of the things that have pushed me to make those decisions are stronger than a lot of people experienced when they came out shouting, God said, God said. When will you know it was God that said that I should do it? No, wahala. Watch out for the next 25 years. Let's see what came out of it. Let me give an example. I ended last time by narrating the experience of Ben Carson. Can you remember that? When I said, Ben Carson said, a woman came and said, we know that God will use you. And he told the woman simply, yes, he's going to use me first of all to explain to you that you have tried. And they said, no, he's going to do more than that. He said, I couldn't just act upon their faith like that. No, I had to have scientific, medically reasonable reasoning to follow. Though, of course, I was trying to move to cooperate with them, but what they said is secondary to what is sensible. But eventually, what they said God said was true or false? It was. Why did I say we should go on radio? I have many reasons. And one of them, like this one, going on radio the first time, I told you before, I wanted to go on radio. And I went to go and prize radio at Uju's place. When they gave me prize. No, first time I went, it was not your place. It was the Cosmo. I ran away. 25,000 each time I stopped for 30 minutes. What is it? What kind of wickedness is that? I disappeared. Then, I thought, of course, by the time I did calculation, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. I won't owe anybody. Hey! No. When I did the calculation, I said, I lie. I'm not doing it. Then one day I went to church. I was with my wife had a meeting. I went to pick my wife. She had a meeting in the church premises. So I was sitting in the car waiting. But as my habit, I was into a message. And Pastor Kwaju was preaching. I can't remember what he said. All I know is that by the time the message ended, something inside me felt like this is the time to get on radio and start teaching the word of God. So I got up. And this time around, because Cosmo scared me the first time, this time around I went to Radio Nigeria. They gave us a price that was, I thought was reasonable compared to what Cosmo gave. After their discounts, we're going to pay about 18,000 something per broadcast. And that's better than 25. Then we fixed time. The day I was supposed to go and see them, I now mentioned to somebody in my office, I'm going to be teaching on radio, I'm going to Radio Nigeria. And I said, Radio Nigeria. Why don't you try Cosmo? Cosmo will be a better deal. I said, do you know how much they are charging? He said, okay, I just talk to them. I just decided that that may be the voice of God. Are you getting my point? And I walked to Cosmo, incidentally. That's why I was the first preacher on Cosmo FM. I was the first, because before that time, Cosmo had this funny rule. The man who was running that time decided he didn't want preachers. And before you said he was a wicked soul, it wasn't exactly a wicked soul. What happened was that he thought preachers were dry, drab, you know, get my point? And they often get into unnecessary controversies. So he felt that they were not blessing people. That is summary. He was not around when I came to Cosmo, and the person acting that time had told the men that, look, the preachers are the ones that spend money. Come on, let them come on. Do you get my point? So when I got there, we negotiated. They gave me 15,000 naira. Ah, that was good, all right? 15K. Ah, that's very nice. Now, this is the point. By the time the man came and saw and he heard, And of course, the program, you know, it actually quickly caught fire. It quickly caught fire. I mean, the radio station were, you know, they were besieged with text messages. People go there, please. They want to see Pastor Banky. They actually said, Pastor Banky does not work in the radio station. He comes here to drop his CD and go away. There was a day, the second broadcast, one young man got up from where he was and ran from Osaka to come and look for me in Cosmo. And they went around Enugu looking for Kingdom World Church. I'm still in the rain. Finally, he arrived in Cosmo. He didn't start with Cosmo. He went around Enugu looking for a place. Who knows? He didn't have any idea. He was just a place. Who knows where is Kingdom World Church? Kingdom World Church. Nobody knew Kingdom World Church because there's no Kingdom World Church in Enugu. Finally, he said, let me go to the radio station. By that time, it was getting late. It was raining. It was the day that it rained. When they got there, this one said that, look, we just know his office is somewhere near here. So they pointed to this building and they came here looking for me. Finally, he met my friend downstairs who picked up the phone and said, Banky, where are you? I said, I'm in Benin. He said, one young man is looking for you. This time it was late afternoon by this time. I said, I'm just driving out of Benin. I'm heading back to Enugu. Tell him to come by. I said, the guy said he will wait. I got into town by 7 p.m. The guy was waiting. That was the kind of impact that radio broadcast had. And we never lacked money to pay for it. Then one day I said, let us split it down to 15 minutes. The IDG, who was there, he used to be a DJ on air that time. You remember IDG? IDG said, Pastor, 15 minutes. When people are asking for you to make it 1 hour. It was because of IDG that we became 30 minutes twice a week. Because he said, look, we can talk. So I talked with their marketer. We negotiated again. They brought the price down further. Cut it down by like 30% so that we can have twice a week. I didn't have to come and harass anybody. Now God said to me, let us go on radio. That's where I'm going with all of these stories. Either he led me or he did not. Are you getting my point? Time will tell that you may prove what the will of God is. Why are we going back? Again, I can't come and argue with you. God said we should go back. I may have my persuasion. But God can say what he wants. If he doesn't bring money, we ain't going anywhere. You know that? I wish you would understand. God's word is not just an instruction. Go on radio. That word brings money. That word brings money. I said that word also brings money. That's what I'm coming to. It does. The word doesn't give me the ability to go and harass anybody or disturb myself for money. No, it doesn't. What it does is to bring forth the anointing to preach, to bring forth the money to pay, or to persuade the radio station not to take money. I don't need to come and harass you. God said, Pastor Banky, thou shalt arise, my son, and get on air and broadcast my word. The word which, as it were, amen, I put inside your mouth from the beginning. That one are theatrics. It's Pentecostal theatrics. Don't worry. You know, if it comes like that, take it, amen. If it doesn't come like that, don't worry your head. And if it comes like that, does not come with money, does not come with favor, does not come with anointing, forget it. Somebody was just acting home movie for you. Don't just worry your head. I told you before, in Christianity, no prophet comes with an instruction. They come with confirmation. You hear what I said? This Christianity, prophets don't come with instructions. They come with what? Confirmation. If a man just comes to me and says, Pastor Banky, but the Lord said I should tell you, get up and walk on your head. I will ask him, did the Lord give me anointing to walk on my head? Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? So I don't need to come and tell you, hey, God said you shall go on air. Even if I feel he said so, it's my issue. I said, there's something I want to teach Christians. I hope you all learn it, especially if you're a preacher. Don't say God said anyhow. Don't say it in public most times. Let it be a rarity. Leave it for the mouth of real prophets. You know what I'm saying? Let Tunebakare come and tell you yesterday morning, because that's a prophetic anointing. It's different from God leading me. That's not prophetic. A prophetic anointing is a different matter. He can come on air and say, God said I should tell this nation. Fine. But if it's your personal life, you prove what the will of God is. The will of God, I tell you, is different from what God says somebody should go and tell somebody. It is never the will of God that the nation should be destroyed. But it's always the will of God that sin will be judged. Are you getting my point? So if a nation walks into sin and walks in iniquity, destruction becomes the will of God for them. But if they repent, that will changes. The point I made at the beginning, the will of God really does not change. Which tells you what comes to them each time is not the perfect will of God. It is the one they have connected with by their lifestyles and their prayers. Are you getting what I'm saying? As a Christian, don't go around saying, God said to me, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. I have seen people doing exactly, no, let me give an example. Let's assume now, all right? I just want to use my son as an example. Let's assume now that there's food here, all right? There's a nice rice, chicken, plantain, everything. And my son, Akinlu, sits down there. And I say, Bobo, what's God saying to you? He said, Daddy, the Lord said I should go and eat that plate of food. Bobo, the Lord said I should go and eat a plate of food. When he did not speak, what did you do to the food? I have been there when the Lord was not even around. What did you do to the food? You ate it. Now you want to disturb me to say that it's the Lord that says you can't eat food. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oftentimes we harass God. We blame God for things that he has nothing to do with. And I've seen that a lot of times. I have seen people that I know, and this is their attitude towards life. Then they wake up and say, oh, right now, I just feel God telling me that this is what we should do. I say, okay. When God did not tell you before, you did it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Christians do that a lot. And why will people say, God said, the reason is because something rose up inside them. And they decided that that is God. Do you follow my point? Do you follow my point? If you go to America today, it happens a lot. A man will wake up after 5 days fasting and praying. Say, God said I should divorce my wife and marry that other woman. No, it's sad, but it happens. And the man will come to church, announce that he has divorced his wife, and according to the will of God, you know, last night as I was praying and the Lord began to speak, and as I looked to my right and I saw, I said, when? So what did the Lord say? He said, I should marry that girl. Mm. So this one, it is no longer male and female, he created him. For this cause, this man shall not leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. He shall temporarily wonder vows, what do you call it? Forces, weak electric forces. Temporary, very easy to dissociate under any condition. It is covalent bonding that the Lord uses. Just right. If you see, go to America. Nigerians have learned it too. We are not using the Lord to divorce our wives yet. We are using him to. The Lord said, all the things you have in your pocket right there. You shall not live here with it. We do that one a lot. I said, the Lord that never says you should give to me, that Lord is very suspicious. He only knows how to collect. One brother, one went to school those days, he said, this one that you keep overshooting meeting. He says, Holy Ghost. He still said it to us last convention went for Rebecca. He said, I have no problem with Holy Ghost overshooting meeting. He said, my problem is that this Holy Ghost never, do you understand? The meeting is 2 hours. You stay 3 hours, 4 hours. They will say, why? He says, it's Holy Ghost. If it's really Holy Ghost, we should show up one day and say, where have all of you gone? He said, today we spent only 1 hour. What happened? It was the Holy Spirit. But if it's only overshooting, oh boy, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That is, God gave it to you. Say, if you want to close in 2 hours, we shall close. If you guys want to stay 5 hours, my name is God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. Where am I hurrying to? And you want to be blessed for 5 hours, I will be there. Pouring forth the anointing. What am I saying? Christians, let's not worry. I won't stay long. I'm disciplining myself. The Lord is good. Christians, let's not worry ourselves with how do I hear the voice of God? No. What we should concern ourselves with is what? How do I prove the will of God? Two different things, right? How do I what? Prove the will of God. And without going into that today, it's a simple thing. Paul said it's by being transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. I will discuss that. Of course, you know, there are things I have said again and again, but you must not finish saying them. Christians must learn them. What does it mean when it says mind? Simple. Mind is how you see things. There are two different Greek words you find. One is for heart, one is mind. They are two different words. They mean two different things. Mind has to do with your perception. How do you see things? What colors your mind? What colors your outlook on the world, on the earth, on things that happen to you? Like Job. Job had a lot of calamities. If it's most of us believers today, what do we do? Brethren, we must pray. The devil that we saw today, we will not see it anymore. This devil, you keep on saying all kinds of things. Everything is centered around devil. Your prosperity is only absence of devil. That's what you think. The reason why you are prosperous is because you have conquered the devil. No. We are devilocentric. Like my English. Alright? Yes, I'm serious. We have become devil-centric. But what did Job say? He looked at it. Said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken. And Job was right. Because if you've been coming around, we started last Tuesday teaching on the gospel according to Job. We're in Job chapter 1 verse 12. You go and read Job chapter 2. You see God spoke to Satan. He said, even though you moved me against him, it was God that moved against Job. It was not Satan. Satan just came around and said, Lord, any job for the boys? Because you go and see what happened. The people were presenting themselves before God. And Satan also came in the midst of them. They came to take their marching orders. And Job, Satan never brought up the matter of Job. God did. Perspective. I was telling the story of how I came to Enugu. No, some of my thoughts after I came here. Before, people said all kinds of things. It's better to go amongst your people. I said, Paul said, give offense neither to Jews or to Gentiles or to the church of God. The people that are my people are the church of God. And they are around everywhere. Safety is not in the garden of men. It's in where the favor of God is. That's how I look at life. Today I was looking. I said, no, because something happened. I was just alone in the house meditating. I said, God, if you give a man 5 million naira every month, do you know by the following week he's asking you for 6 million? When you give him 10, 2 months later, I said, God, why can you not make this thing just 12? Somebody forwarded a mail to me, to our mailing group. He called it 99 Club. Let me summarize because of time. He said, a king one day looked at one of his servants. The servant was always happy, though poor, but always happy. So the king asked one of his advisors, said, how come that guy is always happy? And the advisor said, Oga, he has not yet joined the 99 Club. There was the 99 Club. He said, check it. Go and put 99 gold coins at his doorstep. Watch him join the 99 Club. Those days, 99 gold coins is like, let me just put estimates of how it is to somebody today. It's like you go and put 99, let's assume about 9 million naira at the man's doorsteps. Unless 9.9 million. Because the way it is, if you go and read books like The Richest Man in Babylon, you know that a gold coin was something you worked for. A normal liberal will work a whole year. Total everything will come to maybe about one gold coin. One. They used to work, use mostly copper and silver for day-to-day transactions. So they put 99 gold coins in this man's doorstep. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the man said, watch him. So the man got there, saw 99 gold coins. He counted 99, counted again 99, counted again 99. He said, no, this must be a mistake. It's supposed to be 100. Now, why should anybody give somebody 99 gold coins? Anyway, since they gave me 99, let me make it 100. He began to work twice as hard as he was working before. The times he used to stay with his wife and children, no time anymore. We have to make these gold coins up to 100. When he didn't have any, no wahala. They gave him 99. Suddenly, he's asking for the extra one. So I prayed this afternoon. I said, dear Lord, please, Help me to be content with what I have. I don't want to be harassing you for what I don't have. It's a vital point. There are those who say, my friends over here earn this amount of money. I said, Lord, my friend, bank over here, is teaching the word of God. Thank you for the privilege. That's my job. Are you getting my point? That is, how do you see life? There are those who see themselves as if they are at a disadvantage. It's because of where I am right now. If only I was in America, life would be easier and rosier and better and everything. But like I said to us, what's your Naomi? Remember that. Naomi means that I have something bigger than me that I'm living for. A friend of mine was about to relocate from Enugu a few years ago. I was in church and I was preaching. I said, where should you be? I said, where's ministry? He said, the moment I said it, he realized that he's not supposed to leave. Money can be somewhere, but where do I affect the lives of people? That's where I'm supposed to be. You are transformed by the renewal of what? Your mind. When you go out in the day, everybody's against me. Ask yourself, am I against other people? Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what we call being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word of God begins to change how you see things. A young man came to me here one day. He said, Pastor, I think I have a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, I'm not operating the blessing. I said, okay, so what is it? He showed me all the calamities in his life. And I started laughing. I said, no, your problem. He said, what? I said, you are spoiled. You are spoiled. I told him, you are spoiled. You are spoiled. I wish you have more calamity so that you wake up to reality. I say, a righteous man can fall 7 times, the Lord will still raise him up. God saves him in the time of affliction. Not as he never sees affliction. I say, men walk through fire. They jam lions. What is your problem? I say, I apologize. He said, I'm very sorry, sir. You go around complaining and whining like that. You are the first to see wahala in life. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some people think that the reason why I have not made money is because witches are against me. You know why I know there's no witch against me? All the ones that would have tried would have died suddenly. Every witch that tried to be against me died long ago. And peradventure, you know a witch that wants to die suddenly and is afraid to drink poison. Just go and afflict that man. You will soon die. I know it because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This is the point. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. A friend of mine, now, they had real calamity. Real one. Their son died. The couple, they are my friend. And the woman was telling me one day, said, one day her neighbor came and said, ah, madam, have you heard? You know that woman. I said, yes. Ah, she's the one that did what? She's a witch. She killed your child. My friend scattered laughter. Laughed. I said, madam, come and start going. It's not necessary. Listen to me. No witch can kill my child. Bye-bye. That's how they send, you know. He has been transformed. Look, that it doesn't mean a Christian ever has afflictions. But one person doesn't start worrying about is witches and devils. She laughed and said, forget. When me and God said to arrange ourselves, as for witches, they don't have any power against me. He said, how will one chase 1,000? Or two chase 10,000. The 1,000 and the 10,000 were Israelites. That is, their enemies chasing them. He said, except that their Lord gave them up. So he said, forget witches, forget wizards. If I have problems, I turn like Elihu said. I will say, where is God my maker? No man can afflict me who God has not personally given me into his hands. The strength of your enemy in your life is directly proportional to the weakness of your relationship with God. If Nebuchadnezzar is strong and is afflicting Israel and Judah, it is because they have sinned against their God. The days of David, 500,000 Nebuchadnezzars couldn't come against Judah. David and a handful of men will level them easily. Renewal of your mind. So I pray, hey Shamama, Lord, should I go to village this Christmas? You know the reason why you are praying is because you are afraid of the village idol. If you were not afraid, you want to go. You want to go. You want to see people. You want to go and breathe the fresh air. You live in Lagos. The air in your village is not polluted. You are beginning to have chronic bronchitis in Lagos because of molue. You want to go and refresh. The only reason you are praying is because you hear that one goddess tends to roam around December 23rd. And what if she jams you by accident? You're fried. So you come to prayer point, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Nah, lie. Anointing oil, you are afraid. All those confessions are confessions of a fearful man. You're asking, Lord, what is your will? God says, if only you will stop being afraid. You discovered my will last year. 2 years ago, you knew my will. The only reason why we are still praying this prayer is you are still a fearful fellow. So go and read. Go and discover that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Go and read that if indeed that God, goddess and her chief priestess have a habit of roaming around the 23rd and you want to save the village, that 23rd, go and sit on the main road at 12 midnight hoping they will jam you. Because once they jam you, they don't jam death. One man I know, that really happened to him. In his hometown, he did a vibrant crusade and the chief priestess of the village was terribly against him. And many of the chiefs and all the big men in the village joined the crusade. Many gave their lives to Christ. The final day, they went to church to do Thanksgiving. They finished the Thanksgiving and they went back home. While they were in church, the priestess died. It happens. You see what I'm saying? Being transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. There are those who have written themselves up. Off. I can never make it in life. Why? I'm currently broke. The last 5 jobs I applied for, nobody employed me. Oh, by the way, I don't have a university degree. By the time they finish summarizing it, they have developed what I call excuses for Satan. So they agree with Satan that, you know, I'm a dead man. I'm a poor man. Some people are in places where God did not send them to. Do you know why? Because they think that is the only way they can make money in life. That's how this one of a brother, join hands with me. Is it the will of God I should go? God said, you know your problem. You know your problem. You are afraid. You don't believe that anything good can come out of your life where you are. The moment you believe it, you won't want to go anywhere. After that, a lot of things we are telling God to say, he doesn't want to talk. Because he knows that's not your real problem. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about how to pray effectively, right? And I said, many of the prayer points we have is, look, why God doesn't answer is that he knows that's not the prayer point. He knows. You are praying for the conversion of your uncle. Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is my uncle. He must give his life to Christ. God said, forget, but you are only concerned because he's rich. And you know if he gives his life to Christ, he will stop calling you that SU boy. And suddenly, all the things you need money for, he will help you with it. So, you are praying for 6 years, I have not answered. Not because I don't know how to deliver people. But you are not asking for your uncle's salvation, you are asking for money. Ask for it directly. You see what I'm saying? My people say they hear God. If you are in school, and people have told you that, you must be engaged by the time you leave campus. Otherwise, you will not be able to be sure of who the girls outside are. You don't know how they are. You tell that kind of story. It's okay. So, we are in final year and you are about to leave. I shall, well, Lord, reveal. Reveal, reveal. God says, the girl I want to reveal right now is in secondary school. So how are we going to do it now? And if I show her to you, you rebuke the devil. You understand what I'm saying? So you go pray. When you are finished praying, God says, okay, Gabriel, speak to him. So Gabriel, you near your ear. Did I hear Ijoma? Yeah, I heard Ijoma. Amen, praise the Lord. All Gabriel did was they now go to fellowship and you'll be chasing one DJ up and down. And God will allow her to agree. I know what I'm saying. You know why? Because he knows that in exactly 3 years' time, she will abandon you and marry Jumbo. And God needs her to keep you steady for 3 years. So for those 3 years, you will invest. You have graduated, she's still in school. As NYC Alawi, you go give 1 month to NCCF. Then the other one, you'll be sharing it as you send your father money of your mother. You give your mother her own portion. You go do midnight call, God is teaching you how to pray at night. Don't worry. You will learn. You will learn. At the end of 3 years, suddenly, the Holy Spirit that spoke to her will just resign. The next time you say, hey, Jehovah, how now? I say, look at the way he's even saying how now. His language is not polished. It's a revelation. Then one day she now say, my birthday is next week. You say, is it next week? You see, he didn't even remember my birthday. Are you sure this guy is a good man? Then meanwhile, Jumbo will now arise. If I will now be a pastor in her church, demonstrating the kind of anointing she loves. Like T.D. Jakes. Maybe you are going through something tonight. And the Lord is looking to you. The girl with the The next thing, she starts having second thoughts. You know the truth? The first time both of you heard the voice of God, it was confusion you heard. And God allowed it to be, to keep it in order for the next 3 years. So that your secondary school girl can mature. But that means your man finishes with you. You'll be so humble. You will doubt the voice of God. I mean, you won't be the same again. Then, of course, you know what you start doing? You start believing God that she will soon repent. Then one day, as you are praying, one night, shabakalaba, some friend will say, what the hell, I'm in town, what happened? What are you doing around? Say, I came for Ejoma's wedding. We all collapse, goes out. Then suddenly, you now hear one Pastor Banky preach. He takes away the first to establish the second. Then you will wake up. You will receive encouragement. At that time, the other girl will be ready. Then, this time around, if God wants to speak, say, God, don't say anything. I'm going to marry whoever I like. This time around, you're not marrying the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All your confusion was because somebody lied to you. Say, if you're not engaged by the time you leave school, you won't find a good wife. And it's not true. Just to summarize, one day I was in Adekiti. I was on holiday, so I went to work in the church where I used to attend then. So I was with two men of God. They came from to organize a program. So we were chatting together. So we chatted, we talked, and I talked a lot of things I believed. So the brother said, you're married? I said, no, I'm not married. He said, you're in Lagos. Are you engaged? I said, no. He said, come on, let me advise you. Be careful of Lagos sisters. Like, oh boy, you're in trouble. You are single, you're in Lagos. So I quoted the scripture for him. Two, I said, houses and riches are from the fathers. A prudent wife is from the Lord. I said, go and read Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He said, there is a woman whose hands are snares, nets. Her hands are chains. He said, the man who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be enticed. I remember the statement I made. I said, even if I'm in the midst of 1,000 Jezebels, I won't marry one. He said, okay, Sha, it's true, Sha, amen. God help you, Sha. Do you get my point? What do? We prove what the will of God is. What do? We prove. It's not about whispering and hearing voices. It's knowing the will of God and having a heart ready to receive it. We'll talk further about the renewing of the mind next time. All right, the Lord is good. Can we just begin to give the Lord thanks? We're blessed today. Let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks.